The phone lines are open for you right now. If you'd like to join our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, love to hear from you this morning. All you got to do is pick up the phone, give us a call with your question. Telephone number 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. We'll get you right on the air with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. As mentioned, they are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Their website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Really nice website to learn more about Kloss Financial. You can learn more about their separate divisions, how they can help you or if your employer, as well as sign up at klossfinancial.com for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. It's a nice weekly email. It's going to be a little snapshot of what's been going on in the markets. Also a link to the most recent podcast. Again, that available to you at klossfinancial.com. Telephone number for the office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. And joining us this morning are CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. CJ, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great, Sean, although I hear we're supposed to get some more of that white powdery stuff like tonight or tomorrow morning. So if you could, you know, work on that,
do something
great.
About that. How about we move the show? We'll just move the show. We'll start, we'll maybe do the show at the Bahamas, maybe.
There we go.
Yeah, something like that. Yes, exactly. Malia, how are you doing this morning?
Very good. We're happy to be here.
It's great to have you along. And we have got a great conversation ahead. You know, you're unlikely to win Powerball or Mega Millions, but there's a chance you may come across inheritance. And there's a lot to go through and sort through, both financial and also emotional, with that opportunity and with that thing that comes along with it, things like taxes and other things. So we're going to get into that with CJ and Malia and talk through some of the things to consider with that area. If you've got a question about retirement, whether it's about inheritance or otherwise, it's a prime opportunity right now to get on the air. 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Kloss's website, klossfinancial.com, and their telephone number, 608-442-5637. Another great feature of the program, the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, a chance to win a fantastic prize from our friends at Kloss Financial. This week, no exception, got a chance for you to win a $25 gift card to Dick's Sporting Goods. We'll do the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week a little bit later on in the program. Little pro tip, though, most of the time, I think just about every time, both the question and answer come up during the program, which gives you a leg up on everybody else when it comes time to win that $25 gift card to Dick's Sporting Goods. So listen close to the program. Not only great information, but a chance to win a great prize. Speaking of the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, let's take a look back at last week's program and get the question and the answer there as well, Malia.
Yeah, so last week our question was true or false. Per the IRS, you must begin taking your RMD or required minimum distribution from your retirement accounts by April 1st of the year following the year you turn 73. So true or false? Well, this was a great question for last week. We had several call-ins, but ironically, our winner was one of our current clients who was sitting in her car listening to our show and walked into the office and said, I know the answer. And she was correct. And she was actually the first one. Nice. So you could walk in and actually have the right answer. And this was Katie of Madison. So congratulations to her. Thanks for listening in her car and coming up with the correct answer.
That is really, really cool to hear. Listen closely. You too could be like Katie, a chance to win a great prize this week. As mentioned, we're going to be talking about things that happen, kind of what goes on when it comes to inheriting money and, of course, dealing with the taxes. And CJ, I got to guess there's great detail in each week's program, but I guess this is one of those we're probably going to just kind of scratch the surface. There's a lot to understand here, isn't there?
There is a lot to understand, and yet it's important because I think the first question that we often hear when something is happening or has happened to a loved one or there is a potential inheritance is the first thing that people think is taxes, mm-hmm. right? Like, well, if I'm getting a bunch of money, it must all get blown up with taxes. And so therefore it creates this kind of paralysis or uncertainty around what will happen as you receive those dollars. So we're going to get into all of that today as it relates to an inheritance, but you know, it can be really stressful and emotional. And for many people, there's also the reality that they may have this inherited money, and how are they supposed to handle that, and what about with their spouse and their children and all kinds of stuff. So to kind of set the stage here, the Federal Reserve Board's survey of consumer finances reported that an average of roughly 1.7 million households received an inheritance or receives an inheritance every single year. Of course, the amount of the inheritance varies quite widely. Now, interestingly enough, the average inheritance in the United States is $46,200. And as we've talked about many times on this show, people are living longer, and so often beneficiaries will sometimes be surprised by the fact that the inheritance is lower because maybe mom and dad needed to go into a long-term care facility, and it really spent down the estate before the inheritance came. So be cautious. One thing we tell our clients is you can tell us about your parents or grandparents that are declining in age and health, and you can tell us how much you think you might inherit, but we're never going to I shouldn't say never. Never say never, right? We rarely are going to plan on that as it relates to your personal financial plans, because there's just a lot of things that can blow up your expectations, including the fact that you could get disinherited, which is a whole separate topic. So today we want to offer some ideas of what to expect if this should happen to you, if you get the surprise that you are a beneficiary. So step number one, take time to grieve. Losing a parent or grandparent or any other family member is never easy. First things first, catch your breath and then look to understand kind of what are the steps you need to take. Step number two, gain an understanding of the specifics of what you have inherited and the financial nuances associated with that inheritance. So here would be an example. Did I inherit a car? Did I inherit money in a checking account? Did I inherit part of an IRA, part of an annuity, part of a home that needs to be sold? Each one of those actually has potentially slightly different nuances associated with how you would receive that inheritance. Step number three, get an original or a copy of the death certificate. You probably will need at least a couple of originals, but many times investment institutions, even sometimes life insurance institutions, only need a copy. But you're going to probably end up needing some originals. So get some originals and then make some copies of those originals so that when it goes to actually claiming these different assets, you will have the appropriate documentation. And then step number four, contact a financial professional. Now, notice we just said broadly financial professional. So that team of financial professionals could include a financial advisor, an accountant or CPA, and perhaps an estate planning attorney. Now, often the estate, so this would be the executor of the estate, will have a lawyer that's helping to kind of settle the estate along with the executor. So that may just be the main lawyer you need to talk to or ask questions to. But outside of that, you're probably going to want to have an accountant or CPA and or financial advisor to help answer your questions like, hey, my brother who's the executor of the estate got this statement and said I'm half a beneficiary of this annuity or of this IRA or this Roth IRA. What do I do? Well, that's where you need a professional to be able to pause and say, here's how this will work.
Really good guidance and information as we set the stage this morning with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Their website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. A great website and great resource to learn more about Kloss Financial. Also, if you miss any part of the program or you want to listen back or even share the podcast, you can do that right at klossfinancial.com. While you're there, sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. Scroll down, you'll see that little envelope. That's where you can stay connected with Kloss Financial. Again, that's available to you at klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their telephone number, 608-442-5637. And to join CJ, Malia, and myself, love to hear from you this morning. All you got to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. You want to be cautious and you want to be careful when receiving money. We'll get the details from Malia and take your call next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. And the phone lines are open for you right now at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. We'll get you right on the air with our retirement planning professionals from Claus Financial. CJ Claus and Malia Cuevas. Don't forget about the website for Claus Financial, clausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. So when we look at, we learn that we're going to maybe be receiving money. I've got to guess you've got to be careful with this stuff. Things like taxes and other areas when it comes to inheritance, you want to be careful. And there's some areas to, in particular, to be aware of, aren't there, Malia?
Be aware of these things before this potential gift might show up at your doorstep. Yeah. I think it really is good just to plant those seeds. And so our first thing just to remind yourself of is resist, if you do receive an inheritance, resist the urge to spend it all at once. And we're saying this because of the experience that we have seen with people that receive money that they did not earn. And literally, oftentimes, that money just falls through their hands like water. Mm-hmm. They didn't earn it. They didn't feel the pain of saving it. And many, many times people do make poor decisions once they receive it. So according to a study funded by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, actually 1/3 of people who receive an inheritance spend all of it. And then they even dip into other savings in the first 2 years because they kind of get used to spending some money. So what we would say is halt, do the opposite. Treat the inheritance as if it were your own money to start with. Now, some people are very good with this. So I just said 1/3 spend through it quickly. There's probably another 1/3 that they're afraid to spend it because, oh my gosh, mom and dad are watching me spend this money. So there's that, that situation. But we look at it as, remember that receiving an inheritance really is a blessing to you. So properly managing it to help you shore up your own debt or your own savings, and then potentially helping your future retirement. We just want to make sure your situation and your inheritance is going to help you in the right way. So many times we'll work with beneficiaries of our current clients, for example, and they have siblings. And so what's right for you may be completely different than for your sibling. If we were to meet with a sibling who we've never met with, perhaps they have a whole lot of debt that needs to be taken care of. So that's why when CJ says meet with a financial professional, we want to make sure that you're getting clear advice that pertains to your situation, because what's right for your sibling might not be right for you. So then the question, as we've been discussing, is, oh my goodness, are there taxes and on the inheritance I've just received? And that's usually the first question we hear, kind of a panic. And generally, no. And we're going to go through those details in a minute. But you should understand that inheriting money from a friend or family member may not cost you a single dollar in federal income tax. So well, we're going to talk about estate taxes that are levied on the value of the decedent's assets after the debts have been paid. So if there's any debts that the person who passed away has at the time of death, their estate is going to be the amount of money they have in there minus whatever has to be paid out for final debts. So we want to review federal estate tax, and this is a moving target as well. And what the U.S. taxes system does is they impose a tax on the decedent's estate if the value exceeds a certain amount. So many listeners, this might not pertain to you. It's great if it does, I suppose, but the value of the estate in 2024 would actually have to exceed $13.61 million for that person. And only if their estate was more than that, potentially for a married couple, obviously it'd be $27 million. Those current limits, just a little side note, are perhaps going to expire at the end of 2025. But just keep this in mind, only if that estate is more than that amount would you be facing potential taxation. And so, in other words, if the estate was $15 million, for example, that extra $2 million, that would be subject to federal estate taxes. It is pretty hefty. It's progressive scale, and the progressive scale actually goes up to as much as 40%. So that's where we are engaging estate planning attorneys if you would have an estate in that size that you're dealing with. Another item to keep in context here is the annual gift exclusion. So this applies against that federal tax exemption, and that is $18,000 in 2024. So this is where we've talked on previous shows where you can gift money up to $18,000 to your children or to anybody, and that those dollar amounts are actually being reducing that federal estate number I just spoke of, the 13.6.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, online klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Malia mentioned there, we've just recently talked, a couple of shows ago, about the annual gift exclusion, and you can get details and listen back to that podcast at klossfinancial.com. And their number is 608-442-5637. So Malia, you mentioned federal estate tax. What about state? What do they say?
Yeah, so you probably are not going to have to worry, hopefully, about the federal estate tax affecting your inheritance. State taxes actually vary. Good news for our Wisconsin listeners, there is not an estate tax as of today. Things can always change, but Illinois does. Yay. Illinois estate tax is graduated. It goes up to as much as 16%, but it is only applied on estates worth more than $4 million. So not that you can choose exactly what day or what state you're living in at the time when you pass, but it's kind of interesting. And what we do see is that with each state setting their own inheritance tax rules, many people say, well, I live here. And when we see beneficiaries pass away, many times they also have properties in different states. So you might go, well, he lived here, but oh yeah, I forgot he had a second property in another state or two. So those things can come into place. So a lot to understand, but don't get too nervous when you hear, oh, I'm inheriting some assets.
It's such a fascinating topic and an amazing conversation as well. Don't forget, if you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen back at klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Of course, you can learn more about Kloss Financial as well at the website. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, that number is 608-442-5637. So, which items, when we think about tax liabilities, are there certain items that we could inherit that we're going to want to be particularly keen on possible tax liabilities?
So, Malia did a good job there of outlining these federal estate taxes and state estate taxes. And think of this as the value of everything that you have, including, by the way, I don't know if Malia got into this, but including like life insurance proceeds actually increase the value of your estate if they are owned by you and then paid to a beneficiary. So you may think, oh, no, I'm not worried about those exemption amounts that Malia was talking about. And I go, what about the life insurance? Because sometimes there can be $2, $3, $4, or $5 million worth of life insurance that can bump you up over those levels. So be cautious. Estates are the combination of your net worth plus your life insurance that is owned by you. And so that is the extra tax that gets assessed to large estates, depending upon how this each of the states that you live in define it, or how the federal government defines it, which those numbers are quite high, as Malia mentioned, but watch out, you can still get impacted by it. What I'm about to talk about is, what is the individual tax treatment of different types of accounts within that estate, right? So think, life insurance, cash, investments, properties, things like that. So the good news is that generally speaking, life insurance pays income tax free to beneficiaries. So again, back to the, if I have a $2 million life insurance policy and I am paying premiums on it, and then God forbid I die, that life insurance proceeds goes to my family or my beneficiaries income tax free. Now, if that life insurance bumps me up over those exemption amounts for the state of Illinois or for the federal government, then it could have a separate estate tax. But for income tax purposes, cash, life insurance, after-tax investments, stocks, properties, generally speaking, do not have tax consequences. So that's nice, right? Yeah. You think about it, you go, whoa, wait a minute. If I think of, say, my parents' estate or my estate, there could be a fair amount of my estate that is comprised of those types of assets, cash, after-tax investments, life insurance, properties, so on and so forth, cars, all those things. Now, what some of you are thinking right now is, wait. That can't be right, because my accountant told me that if I sell my rental property right now, I would pay a bunch of tax on it because of the depreciation that's happened in the background. So how is it that my beneficiaries, when I die, can get it with no tax? And the answer is that's called the step-up, the step-up provision. So non-retirement capital assets get a step up in basis upon death. That's the way it works right now. I will tell you, this has been on the chopping block for Congress and the IRS for quite a while, and it could change at some point. But there's nothing that we're seeing right now in the docket that's hotly debating this topic. So for now, those assets that if you sold while you were alive would have a capital gains tax. In the case of your death, get a step up on basis. Now, subsequent earnings on those inherited assets, of course, are not tax-free. So if I take life insurance proceeds and put them in the stock market and they grow, well, I'll have to pay tax on that. Or if I take that property and don't sell it, and then it grows from there, and then I sell it later on, I'll have to pay taxes on that. But in the moment you receive it, there's generally not a tax on those assets.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. What about things like inherited accounts or annuities and those type of things, CJ? What do we need to know in that world?
Yeah. So again, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, we're separating between the state estate tax. So estate, E-S-T-A-T-E, because it's state and estate. So between the state estate taxes and the federal estate taxes, which are levied on larger estates based upon the combined value of your net worth and life insurance that is owned by you, that is separate from the tax associated with each of the underlying individual assets that you are inheriting. What I just mentioned is that life insurance, cash, after-tax investments, properties generally do not have a income tax assessed with them when you receive them, which is pretty nice. However, inherited retirement accounts, completely different ball of wax. So again, if you think of your estate as, yeah, I've got some cash, life insurance, I've got some stocks, I've got a home, maybe one rental property, but I also have $1 million in a retirement account. And good news, CJ and Malia said, as long as it's not over, you know, $13 million, there's no tax. That's not true. There is an income tax to your beneficiaries on pre-tax retirement accounts, because when you put the money into that account, you got a tax deduction. It has then been growing tax deferred, and maybe you're old enough now that you have minimum distributions coming out of that, but if there's money left over and you pass away, those beneficiaries don't get to get a step up in those retirement assets. So unlike a rental property or an after-tax stock that gets a step up, retirement accounts do not get a step up. Therefore, your beneficiaries will have to pay income taxes. Now, the purpose of the show is not to get deep into the weeds on some of those provisions. I will just generally say if that happens now, if your spouse inherits it, they can usually just take it over there as their own. But if adult children, or if, you know, friends or family members, whatever it might be, inherit that, generally they have to get the money out of those retirement accounts, whether it be a Roth account or a pre-tax account, within 10 years. Hmm. Okay. Now, they might have an RMD along the way. They might not. That depends on what's called the required beginning date. But the idea being, if I leave a retirement account that I have not yet paid the tax on to my beneficiaries, under most circumstances, they will have to get that money out within 10 years, and it will be income taxable to them. And finally, the last kind of anomaly here is inherited annuities, because people say, well, hey, the money I put into that annuity maybe was non-qualified or after-tax money, and I put 100 grand into the annuity and now it's worth 200 grand. And so CJ, from what I heard you say, that means they get a step up on the annuity when I die. Nope, wrong again. So annuities are a weird beast where if you put after-tax money into an annuity and it's been deferred over all of these years and you got $100,000 worth of growth inside of that thing that you've never paid tax on, that growth will be treated a lot like a retirement account. Now, it doesn't have to come out within 10 years like a retirement account, but it does have to get paid. This is what are called stretch annuity provisions. And boy, oh boy, does it get really complicated. So not going to go into detail on that as much as you need to know. Non-qualified inherited annuities with untaxed gain will have to be taxed, or will have to be, the tax will have to be paid by the beneficiary over some period of time in the future. So you can see, everybody who's listening right now should be going, ooh, man, it sounded so simple when you began and now it's getting complicated. Yes, unfortunately, it is complicated. That's why we said you will need to talk to an advisor or an accountant or CPA to help you through this.
It's like when you look at a car, you think that thing is so simple, and then you pop the hood and you're like, oh my goodness, it is super complicated.
That's right. You go, I want to get a nice car. And then you pop the hood, you go, I don't even know where the battery is on this thing.
Exactly. He is CJ Claus and Malia Cuevas, of course, our retirement planning professional from Claus Financial. We'll continue our conversation with Malia and CJ. We're going to talk about, let's say you inherit a retirement account, and how does that process work? Also, maybe you got a house. Maybe it's got a mortgage that you inherited. We'll find out the details from CJ and Malia next as Money in Motion with Claus Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. And the website, klaasfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaus Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, the number, 608-442-5637. Talking this morning about inheritance and what you need to know when it comes to this stuff. And as we were kind of talking that last segment, just about some of the different taxation on different assets and other things. What about as you're inheriting in some retirement accounts, what is that process? And let's say you inherit like a 401k or an IRA. What's kind of that first step, CJ?
Yeah, so generally speaking, and again, I'm gonna warn you, we are touching the tip of the iceberg, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Sean. So there's these big picture items that we want to make sure people understand as it relates to, hey, unless your estate is really, really big, you're probably going to avoid some of those federal estate taxes if you die in the year 2024. But then you start getting down into the nuances of what is it that I'm actually inheriting, and then the tax treatment starts getting more complicated. But one of the big categories that could be in the estate of somebody that you're inheriting or a beneficiary of would be retirement accounts. So think pre-tax 401ks or pre-tax IRAs, or even for that matter, Roth IRAs or Roth 401ks. So if you are a beneficiary of those, under most circumstances, what you're going to need to do is open up a beneficiary or inherited IRA so that the money can be transferred into the new account to preserve its tax deferred status. So what we mean by this is if it's any sizable dollar amount, you're generally not going to want to say to the company that holds that, yeah, just send me a check. Because if you do that and it's a pre-tax account and you inherit, say, $100,000 or even $50,000, that is going to stack right on top of your income for the year and could increase your marginal income tax rates. It could cause other taxes and penalties that you're unaware of. And so most of the time, even if you decide to liquidate it a year later, most of the time you're going to want to open up a beneficiary slash inherited IRA to preserve its tax deferred status. Because once it goes into that, don't worry, it's not locked up. These inherited accounts do not have age 59 and a half as their controlling age. If you're 40 years old and you decide, I don't know what's going on, I'm going to put my 100 grand of inheritance into an inherited IRA, a year later, you could pull it all out and there's no penalty. You avoid the penalty because of its inherited IRA status, even though you're not 59 and a half. So again, cannot encourage you enough. Most of the time, the first step that you should take
is to set up that inherited account and then deal with your accountant or advisor around how much you'll take out each year over the next 10 years. Again, remember, if you're a spouse, that whole 10-year requirement does not apply to you. But if you're a non-spouse who is, I'll just say generally an adult, under most circumstances, you will have to get it out within 10 years, and you may have a minimum distribution along the way as well.
Did the Secure Act change anything here, CJ?
Yeah, so it did. I mean, really, the Secure Act, it consists of 29 provisions that deal with several aspects of retirements and savings plans, including required minimum distributions that we talked about, I think, last week, Sean. And so there's a lot of things that have changed this. But for those who are listening, many of you may know, you may say, what is this whole 10-year thing? I have an inherited retirement account that I've had for 30 years. So it used to be, prior to the Secure Act, that actually if you inherited as, say, a child, that you could stretch out the deferral over your life expectancy. Now, it was a different table that had a more accelerated distribution, but it didn't matter. It was a really long distribution pattern. So you would have a minimum distribution that came out, but you could keep it 20, 30, 40 years, which is really cool. Well, if you know, a lot of the enhancements in the Secure Act were benefits to taxpayers, meaning they get huge financial benefits out of it. And if you know what's happening with our federal government, they got a fair amount of debt. And so they had to figure out, how are we going to pay for all of these enhancements? And the answer was, we'll just force out the money faster from retirement accounts. And by doing so, if you think about it, it means the IRS is getting their tax money faster. So this is one of the negative impacts of the Secure Act, I will call it, is that it forces you to get money out faster, which forces you to pay tax, which many times forces you to pay tax when you're younger and earning income, which means the tax is higher. So cannot encourage you enough. Unfortunately, what seems like a simple concept, which is they just shortened up the distribution schedule on inherited IRAs, has a boatload of complexity and planning that goes along with it if you're going to do it the right way. So just remember, the Secure Act kind of eliminated the ability to stretch out the deferral over your lifetime. And so said another way, if you've inherited an IRA on or after January 1st of 2020, you must withdraw all the assets from the inherited account within 10 years. And there are three possible strategies to consider based on your situation. You know, one is withdraw all the assets evenly over 10 years. Another option would be to wait until the end of the 10-year period and then withdraw everything. But that's, by the way, that is only an option to you if the owner of that retirement account didn't reach their required beginning date. More on that. You can call us if you have questions about that. Option number three would be to make irregular withdrawals over the 10-year period if the owner didn't reach their RBD, which could just be 1 year you take out half, 5 years later you take out the other half. You get the idea. It just has to all be out by the end of the 10th year.
Fantastic stuff this morning from CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. And before we get to the Kloss Quiz question of the week, Malia, I know some folks are probably wondering about this. You inherit a house. It's got a mortgage. How does that inheritance affect your own estate?
Inherit the house. If the house comes with a mortgage, you also inherit the mortgage repayment. So the bank actually has the right to request the payment of the loan in full from the beneficiary. Ideally, you'll have enough assets from outside of the house to pay off the home so you can inherit it in full, but be aware of that. And you will want to contact the mortgage servicer. And, you know, quite honestly, many times we just see people sell the home to pay off the mortgage and distribute the leftover funds. So you've got some choices there, but you can't just say bye. Some people actually ask us, oh, so they passed away. So is that debt forgiven? It's like, no, it's not forgiven. And finally, we just want to tell our listeners, receiving inheritance for yourself should be a good reminder to review or actually create your own estate plan. Keep that in mind. If you don't have plans in order, a good idea would be to sit down with your financial advisor, your estate planning attorney, to figure out, do I have a will? Do I need a trust? And do I have power of attorney documents in place? All of these are really important. And as you're working through it, inheriting money, keep in mind someday someone might be inheriting your funds. So you want to make sure that your strategy is laid out as well.
I feel like every week at the start of the show, we should remind people to do that.
Yeah.
That's something you really encourage. And those are really important documents as we talk this morning with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, the website, KlossFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. Great website to learn more about Kloss Financial. Also an opportunity there to sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. Again, the website, KlossFinancial.com. The telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. Hold on to that number as well, because it's time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first called correct answer, win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Dick's Sporting Goods. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. True or false? If you are a non-spouse beneficiary and you inherited an IRA after January 1st, 2020, you must draw out the entire account within 10 years. Is that true or is that false? Telephone number 608-442-5637. First call with the correct answer, win the $25 gift card to Dick's. And don't forget as well, that's Kloss's office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. CJ Malay, you guys have a fantastic day.
Thanks.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor registered with the SEC. The contents of this show are for informational purposes only and should not be considered individual investment advice. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor, representative, and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial. News comes your way next right here on 1310 WIBA.